What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And hour number three, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Talking about the economy here, we're talking with Francis in North Carolina about whether online virtual currencies like Bitcoin is not that the same thing as a cashless society. And no, it isn't, because the virtual online currencies are operating outside the banks. And that is the primary difference. Most money is already virtual, whether it's going through the computer or whatnot. The issue with the cashless society is to lock all of the wealth of the people inside a banking institution, so we are dependent on the banks to carry out all of our commerce for us, for a small fee, as well, of course, under constant surveillance by the government for taxation opportunities. And as a matter of fact, Spain has already banned cash transactions over $1,000. They have to go through a bank. It has to go through their computers, because Spain is now taxing transactions. Because all of these governments that are in economic trouble, the only solution they can accept is to simply take more away from the people of the country. You know, they don't dare talk about kicking out their oligarchs the way Putin did. That evil Putin, he kicked out his oligarchs. They're not going to challenge the might of the banking empires. So the only politically acceptable solution is we take more away from the people to keep the money junkies happy. And that is the essence of the cashless society. When this country began, Americans were not forced to be dependent on the banks, because the coinage was the money. The metal content in those coins was the actual money. And I had one in here, but I can't put my hand on it right now. But that was basically it. And you were free to do whatever you wanted with it. And you could literally live your entire life without involving yourself with a banking institution, because you were paid in coin, you would pay for your bills in coin, you'd walk around. The banks may not even know you exist. The only time you'd have to go to a bank is if you voluntarily wanted to open a savings account or you needed a loan for something. Well, the bankers want us all dependent on them, much the way that the Bank of England wanted all of the American colonists dependent on them, which led to King George III's Currency Act. And the first thing they started doing was shortly after John F. Kennedy was killed, because Kennedy had tried to restore a paper currency that wasn't borrowed at interest from the private central bank with his executive order 11110. And so the Federal Reserve then took silver out of the coins, and they changed the front of the Federal Reserve note. It had originally said, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, and may be exchanged for lawful money at your nearest bank. Lawful money meaning the silver content in those silver coins. That got taken out. And we were all convinced to just pretend that the ink and the paper was now the money. And the problem with that is we lost control over the value of that money. When we had silver coinage, that value was fixed. And there was nothing the government or the bankers could do about it. Once we lost that silver content of our coinage and were brainwashed into believing ink and paper represented money, then the banks could inflate away its value. And they certainly did. The dollar today is worth about 9 cents of what the dollar was worth back in the 1960s. We lost control over the value of our own money. But we still have the freedom to take that money and go down to the bakery and buy a jelly donut. But now they want to take that away and say, you have to go through the banking institution. And that is really the issue. Now, the people who are using Bitcoin and virtual currencies are using them online because it is more convenient. You can't actually shove a dollar bill into the hard drive slot of your computer and have it pop out at the other end. And that's the convenience of all virtual currencies. But Bitcoin does not require you to surrender your cash in the process. And I think there actually are coins and paper notes denominated in Bitcoins now. Sure. Francis, are you okay? You're there.
I do have to agree about the use of the metal coin and so forth, which is obviously, tangible. Hence the reason why I'm questionable about the cyber or the cryptocurrency, because even though that's all electronic, that's not really tangible asset for that matter. So,
well, the difference is really very simple. The cashless society will be mandatory. Using virtual currencies like Bitcoin is optional and up to you. It's the difference between what you choose to do and what you're being told to do.
Well, there's this too. In that case, yes. I may be hitting for bills then.
Well, as we're seeing in India right now, when they start pushing the cashless society on us all, they're going to come after the silver and gold, because the cashless society, the forced dependency on banks doesn't work if there's any kind of a portable store of value that one can have in one's hands. But, you know, people are always going to decide for themselves what represents currency. You've probably heard the expression, a shot of whiskey, right? Do you know where that came from?
A long time ago, but I couldn't tell you now.
Well, because during the gold rush, the price of that little tiny ounce glass of whiskey was exactly the same as the price for a cartridge for your gun. And so prospectors who'd run out of cash would go into a bar and put a cartridge on the bar as barter for the drink of whiskey. And it would be accepted as a currency of the time. Hence the phrase, a shot of whiskey.
Ouch.
There's nothing ouch about it. There's nothing ouch about it. You know, when two people agree on a medium of exchange, that becomes the money supply.
Well, when you're bartering, that's true. But then again, right now, if people are able to barter, that's fantastic. However, what really needs to happen is that the Federal Reserve needs to be collapsed or imploded, and
yes,
the international bankers just basically kick the hell out of the U.S. Excuse my French.
Well, no, we don't need to kick them out of the bankers. First of all, the Federal Reserve and all these private central banks are already on their way to collapse, and they did it to themselves. But we need to not throw the baby out with the bathwater in this case, because your regular depositor banks do provide a valuable service to the community by organizing the small savings of individual citizens and making them together available together as a lump for development of new business, new jobs, new retail, new housing, and so forth. That is definitely a very positive function of banks, and one they should have been constrained to. The big problem we have is that the private central banks are essentially legalized counterfeiting operations that create the money out of thin air and loan it into circulation at interest. Do you know that after Andrew Jackson shut down the Second Bank of the United States as an issuing bank, for banknotes, they tried to operate as a regular commercial customer depositor bank and failed after just 2 years. Private central banks are completely different animals from depositor banks, and they don't even know how to run a bank as a business. They're just profiting off of this legalized counterfeiting operation.
Well, that's because your local community bank is going to be very different than the privatized, you could say industrial bank for that matter, that's corporatized like that.
Well, we need to go back. All countries need to go back to the system the United States had when we started. When we talk about the American Revolution, there were a lot of things that were revolutionary about it. A nation without a declared state religion was one of them, and a government that furnished its own currency to the people interest-free. And that was seen as a major, major threat to the banking powers of Europe. So they got their buddy Alexander Hamilton to try and come on in and convince the U.S. government they had to go into debt to those European banks so they wouldn't be accepted as a real nation, and just all that other nonsense. Like I said, these private central bankers have been playing this scam on the human race for 300 years. That's long enough. It's time to go back to a public currency that is handled as a public utility. That's what we need.
True. And quite frankly, when it comes down to the national debt scenario and that clock ticking in Manhattan as it is, when someone says about, makes a commentary about that, my train of thought is, no, that is not our national debt. That is the international's bank debt that they're running up. That does not belong to the U.S. citizen, period.
Well, actually, that clock is recording government debt, not total consumer debt. And the problem is, when you are living in a country enslaved to a private central bank, by design, the debt will grow faster than the money supply. You can't get out of debt. It's designed that way. It's a form of enslavement, rule by compound interest or rule by banker interest, and it's no more legitimate a form of governance than rule by divine right or rule by slavery. And like those former failed systems, it only works as long as you allow yourself to be brainwashed into thinking this is the way life is supposed to be.
You have a great one.
Same to you. Have a good week. Have a Merry Christmas. And we're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now, they rejoined a few minutes ago, but we were caught up in the middle of a phone call. But we're glad you're back here. All kinds of fun stuff going on. The European Union single currency, the euro, has hit its lowest level against the U.S. dollar since 2003. All of the problems of the European Central Bank and all that debt piling up, it is starting to sink their currency. And they're heading to another financial crisis. And they're always going to be headed to a financial crisis because nobody will dare question that prime assumption that the public currency has to be loaned into circulation at interest by a privately owned central bank. And again, they're doing it to themselves. Do you know during the French revolutions, long before the nobility and Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette went to the guillotine, the bankers got killed? That wasn't a coincidence. Just something to keep in mind. You know the classic American image of the evil villain from vaudeville days? That wasn't just created out of thin air. That was based on the experience of Americans during the 1930s and how bankers behave. They see themselves as masters by virtue of the ink and paper. I am your master. I have the ink and paper thing. Therefore, you are my slave. All righty. Let's take a phone call. Frank in Pennsylvania. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Okay, Mike. Thank you so much. Well, about colonial times and our currency. And there's a lot of talk about Hamilton, you know, Alexander Hamilton. Well, in truth, Hamilton was an agent with the Bank of England, without a
doubt. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. It was one of the arguments that led eventually to the duel with Aaron Burr.
Absolutely. You are so correct. And some of the history that gets actually suppressed was back in 1783 with the New Burr Conspiracy, when the troops were on an overthrow of Washington, the letter that was circulated basically knew that Hamilton came to an agreement with Washington that Parliament would stop funding the war in the United States in order to bring in the First Bank of the United States, which was basically a franchise of the Bank of England.
Yes.
And when the troops found out about this, they were in total revolt because they believed that they were going to get paid with the Continentals, which was the American colonial money during the war. But they found out that, again, that we were going back into a banking franchise that would be controlled by England.
Yes.
And they knew that we can never have true economic prosperity without the currency being controlled by what? By the people. And this is what brought in the New Burr Conspiracy. Alexander Hamilton definitely came with an agreement because Washington knew he couldn't continue the war. It was losing a lot of popularity. There was only 5% that were actually engaged in battles, and we lost an awful lot of battles. Troops were deserting. So in order to save our colonies and to become a United States, there had to be an agreement between Washington and Hamilton. And the agreement was to allow the 20-year charter. And then Washington basically said, well, after 20 years, we'll be not only free from, you know, we'll have our own country to govern, but also we'll be free from banking tyranny. Well, it didn't work out
well
like that because right
well,
after
at, well, it sort of did because at the end of the 20-year charter of the First Bank of the United States, Congress refused to renew the charter. At which point, Baron Rothschild literally said, "If you don't renew our bank's charter and continue to enslave the American people to us bankers, there'll be a disastrous war." And Congress stood firm. And the Rothschilds went to the British government and said, we will give you low-interest loans so that you can go and reconquer the American colonies, bring them back to colonial status. And that led to the War of 1812. And even though the War of 1812 was won by the United States, it threw the United States into so much debt, they were forced to accept the Second Bank of the United States. And, of course, that charter expired after 20 years. And that's where Alexander Hamilton came on in, and he called the bankers a den of vipers. And his entire agenda for his second term in office was shutting down the Second Bank of the United States, which he succeeded in doing. They didn't get their charter to issue banknotes as money. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, they tried to operate as a regular depositor bank and failed after just 2 years because their business is legalized counterfeiting. And shortly after Alexander Hamilton succeeded in shutting down the bank, Second Bank of the United States, there was an assassination attempt on his life, which failed when both guns failed to fire. And the assassin said that his motive for trying to kill the president was with Jackson dead, money would be more plenty. So he was obviously working for the bankers, not well educated, but working for the bankers. And if you read my article, All Wars Are Bankers' Wars, it's laid out there how these private central bankers steer history, start wars, assassinate leaders, all to keep us their debt slaves. And they've been doing it for 300 years. And I think that's been a long enough run that we should start seriously thinking about finding another way to organize our national economies. And as I said before, it looks like because of economic globalism linking all these private central banks together, they're all going to come down at the same time. Up until now, every time a private central bank crashed a nation's economy, the other nations enslaved to private central banks would send in money and start everything all over again, restart the scam. This time, they're all going to come down together, and it's going to be a golden opportunity for the people of planet Earth to just go on down and say, no more private central banks. We're going to have a public currency that's managed as a public utility on the model of the original United States of America. Government creates the currency, spends it into circulation to buy what the government needs. The currency flows through commerce without accruing any interest and is taxed back at the end in the same exact amount as the original issuance to balance the books and close the cycle. It worked for the young America. It works for the nation and the people. What it doesn't work for is the private central bankers, and that's why they are opposed to it. When Lincoln at the end of the Civil War, going into the Civil War, launched the greenback, a government-issued currency, not borrowed from bankers at interest, all of Europe just united against him and said, we can't allow this to stand. If there's a government allowed to furnish its own currency and be without debt, all of the best minds and industry of the rest of the world are going to flock to that nation. And Europe actually supported the Confederacy against Lincoln during that Civil War. Britain and France actually seriously considered invading Washington, D.C. on behalf of the Confederacy. They were held at bay, and this is a piece of history most people don't know. They were held at bay by Russia. Russia sent warships to patrol both coasts of the United States to keep the Europeans from tinkering in the American Civil War. Because Russia had just abolished their serfdom system and adopted an economic system similar to that of the United States of America. And they realized it needed to be protected against the predations of the European banking families. And so Russia came to our aid and allowed the Union to prevail over the Confederacy. And then, of course, Lincoln was assassinated and his greenbacks pulled out of circulation, forcing the American people to go back to using banknotes borrowed at interest from bankers.
Yes, Mike, excellent. Excellent dissertation. So much on the money. Hopefully the Trump people are listening to get an education on the truth on American banking. And hopefully enough people will wake up to what you've been saying. And I did read All Wars of Bankers' Wars. That's excellent. It should be distributed in the schools and colleges so that students can understand.
Oh, you'll never get this past Common Core.
Very good, Michael. Thank you so much, sir.
All right. Thank you very much here for the phone call. We're going to let you go, and we're coming up now on a bit of a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking about the economy. Now, according to the World Bank's Doing Business rankings, Russia has moved from 51st to 40th. That's a big leap. And it shows that the business climate in Russia is improving. And that's obviously a good thing, especially in a world where the president of the United States, the incoming president of the United States of America, is seeking peace through commerce. You know, let's not make war on these people. Let's trade. Now, of course, Donald Trump has to deal with the reality that right now the United States doesn't have a whole heck of a lot of anything other countries want to buy. We've offshored our manufacturing. So why go to the U.S. to buy the products when you can go to those other countries and buy them directly, cut out the middleman, and get a lower price? The manufacturing that's currently in America isn't producing products that are on an equal footing with other nations around the world, both because of a decline in the skill level of the workforce, corner cutting by profit-seeking corporations, and a lot of junk that's added to American products by all kinds of regulatory nonsense that exists primarily to justify the hiring of more bureaucrats from within the families of various politicians. That needs to be dealt with. The biggest problem we have is our agricultural sector. For many, many decades, the United States took pride in being the breadbasket to the world. Everybody came to buy our grain, our corn, huge amounts of agricultural produce. But now we have a couple of problems. One is the GMO experiment has turned out to be a disaster. Nobody wants our GMO food. That's why they're going to force you to buy it and not tell you that it's GMO. And second, a lot of that agricultural productivity was based on this amazing aqueduct system that transformed areas of the western deserts into viable farmland. That has fallen into disrepair. It's been neglected along with the rest of the nation during all of this spending on wars. And it's estimated now that the system is delivering only about a third of the water that it originally delivered when brand new. And the rest is leaking out through cracks and bad valves and corroded pipes. And that's going to have to be fixed. The biggest problem Trump is facing is America's infrastructure is not able to support at this time a revival of industry. And this the easy transport of raw materials and products from factories to retailers and so forth, that's all going to have to be dealt with. And it's going to be a long process. It is not going to happen overnight. And anybody who thinks that January 21st is going to be a whole new world, I'm sorry, you're going to be disappointed. January 21st is going to look very much like January 20th. It's going to take time, and we're all going to have to pitch in with him. All right, let's grab a quick phone call. Alex in San Antonio, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I was calling because, and I'm glad you brought this point up just right now, because I was going to talk to you about Donald Trump's choices for his cabinet. A lot of people are being critical, and some of them they're not taking into consideration everything that goes into, or has gone into, rather, in the past when our president chooses his cabinet. The truth is, for like the past six administrations, the cabinet has been chosen for the president before he was even elected.
The fact the
fact that Trump is choosing his own people and he is making the choices with his advisors, that is actually something that has not happened. So,
well, you know, Chris Christie, I'm sorry to cut you off. We're coming up on a commercial break. Chris Christie was trying to do that. Chris Christie was trying to preload the cabinet for Donald Trump, and Trump picked up on it, demoted Chris Christie, and every one of Chris Christie's recommendations was just thrown off the list. And, you know, Trump is having to make proper obeisance to his top financial supporters, which is why he had that dinner with Romney, but Romney's now been fired. And so, again, we have to give the guy his first 100 days to see what the real measure of his presidency is going to be. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back. All right, I'll hold you over. Stay on the line.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years. Since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-2121. 0911.
Oh, fall. My favorite time of year. Cooler temperatures and, well, let's be honest, layers. Lots and lots of layers. Look, I get it. We all have that favorite hoodie. Matter of fact, I've got a few favorite hoodies. You should wear yours. Enjoy it. I do. But I stay focused on my health year-round. And for me, I take Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. I eat right, control my portion sizes, still maintain a commitment to regular fitness, and I get plenty of rest, and I take Nature's Youth RSF. It's okay to cover up your beach body for a few months, but don't just forget about it. Nature's Youth understands exactly what it means to provide top-quality health products, and Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain peak performance levels and fight the aging process. So layer up and get started today with Nature's Youth RSF. Naturesyouth.com. Simple to use, even simpler to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Alex in San Antonio, you had one more thing you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, it was regarding Trump's choice for, I believe it was Secretary of State, which is the CEO of Exxon. I was going to say that that's a great choice because now you have one of the head pillars of OPEC, which is the mechanism by which the Fed controls its use of dollars, petrodollars. Now you have that mechanism, one of the head members of that mechanism within our government. That means that they can now be held accountable, which basically means that the Fed lost its strong arm, which would explain why they hiked up rates. One of the main reasons why they weren't scared to hike up rates, because they knew that they lost their strong arm.
Well, you know, that poorly thought out oil price war against Russia backfired horribly. It caused much more damage to Europe, South America, the U.S., Canada, than it did to Russia. And Saudi Arabia was put in a serious, serious situation with the crash of oil prices, and they had to basically force oil prices back up, or they'd be in bankruptcy in 3 years.
Absolutely. I agree. That's really the last point I wanted to make, and I did want to hear your opinion about what I thought regarding what we had previously said regarding his cabinet and how he was the actual person who chose it. It wasn't a set of bankers that determined it 3 months before the election. But thank
well,
you so much,
thing,
Mike. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. We're going to let you go here. One thing we know, because it's already been demonstrated, President Trump will not hesitate to fire anybody in his administration who's not doing the job Donald Trump thinks they ought to be doing. And I think that's going to be a good message to go out across the entire government. There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Trump. All right, last phone call for the day. Then we're going to close the phone lines because I got a bunch of news to get to. Pat in Arkansas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I heard you speaking with a caller the other day about organics and losing weight and also the decline in quality of agriculture.
Yes.
And we have an alternative right here in the United States called AsureStandard.com. And
okay.
I have been ordering from them for about 5 years, and it's been completely positive. I thought maybe someone would like to check that out for their own benefit.
Well, I know there's a lot of very small providers, organic. I know there's the big fight going on over raw milk and everything. But when you're talking about a national export, you're talking about huge volumes of crops. These small companies can't even come close to that. And again, these I'm looking at the website right now. Clearly, they're selling. They're Buy American selling to Americans, and that's a good thing because we all need alternative sources of food that aren't filled with chemicals and GMO. But in terms of our national economy, for many decades, a large part of America's prosperity was our agricultural exports, and the GMO experiment has pretty much devastated that. At this point. And pulling back from that is going to be extraordinarily difficult, mostly because of that GMO pollen that is out there. To get rid of the pollen from the GMO plants, you're either going to have to allow a field to lie fallow for 3 whole years, or you're going to have to do what I think it was Belgium did and literally burn the fields to kill the pollen and then plow them up and replant. I think that GMO experiment... And again, it was short-term thinking. We're going to make money with this right now, and who cares what it does in the long run. But in the long run, it's destroyed America's agricultural exports.
Yeah, these are what they call a verified non-GMO. They've been doing this for around 50, 55 years. They're Asia Standard. They're in Oregon. And
yeah, I'm looking at the website. They're not producing enough volume of food, even for the American people, to be eating non-GMO. I don't think they're going to produce enough to be a significant exporter. So thank you very much for the phone call, Pat. We're going to let you go here. And it is good to have sources that you can go to locally for safe food, especially in an age where you can't trust what's on the shelf at the supermarket, no matter how much corporate media tells you that it's the best thing for you. And that's an ugly reality that we live in right now. But in terms of our national economy, a big part of America's exports in the past was agriculture, and they just don't want our agricultural produce anymore. That was a big part of the agenda behind the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, was to force these other countries to buy our GMO agricultural exports, even if they didn't really want them. That appears to now have failed. And that's going to be a big, big problem. Genetic technology is the most dangerous technology that we've ever played with, even worse than nuclear power. We're tinkering with the code of life, and there have already been some very ugly mistakes made. And once this altered DNA gets out into the wild, it can go anywhere. I'm still concerned about the accidental release of the epicyte gene. Because if that happened and the epicyte gene starts contaminating other species of corn, then we're looking at an extinction level event. Now, there's been a sharp drop in birth rates in the United States, and you can attribute part of that to the economic realities. People can't afford a baby. But I noticed that the drop in birth rates is highest or lowest, most severe, in the Hispanic population, who happen to be the highest per capita consumers of corn in the United States of America. And we put that in the video What are they thinking? All right, let's get back to the news here. We're going to close the phone lines for the rest of the day because I'm way behind in my talking points. Backing up to the election news, the Michigan recount has turned into a potential disaster for Hillary Clinton, and you will not see this on your TV news. But the recount found 37 more votes, 37% more votes than voters on those poll place logs. That is some serious ballot box stuffing going on, and it was all favoring Hillary Clinton. Now, Hillary can salve her regret over not being the first female president of the United States of America by looking at her other accomplishments, because in the last 104 years, there has never been more than two electors who voted faithless in the Electoral College. Hillary Clinton had seven. It's an all-time record! So, getting on back to the economic news. As you know, the U.S. and the EU are extending and ramping up the Russian sanctions against Russia to counter Russian aggression, which Russia isn't aggressing against anybody. It's the EU and NATO and the U.S., but that's what the corporate media is going to tell you. It's all their fault. We have to put weapons and soldiers on Russia's border because they're thinking bad thoughts about us. And the sanctions, like the oil price war, have been a disaster. It's backfired horribly. Russia has actually become more self-sufficient internally because they're not able to buy products from Europe. And all those people in Europe who are making and selling products and agricultural produce to Russia are in serious economic trouble. But the attitude seems to continue to be, we've got to get Russia. We don't care if it destroys the people in our own country. You know, it's a sacrifice I, as the leader, am willing to make. And Russia is now saying that they reserve the right to respond asymmetrically to U.S. sanctions. What does that mean? Well, asymmetric response is when you match for match. We're going to tax apples. All right, we'll tax our apples. We're going to put a tax on vodka. All right, we're going to put a tax on scotch. That's symmetric. Asymmetric is when the U.S. says we're going to put a tax on vodka and Russia says we're going to tax everything being imported from your country. And I'm drastically oversimplifying, but that's what it means. Russia is upping the ante, saying that if it's going to go to an economic war, and we ought to be careful about that because economic wars can turn into hot wars, shooting wars, they're saying that they're not going to be constrained by the idea of symmetric response anymore. Now, everyone's talking about the Trumpforia rally at the stock market, and I'm not sure how real it is. Certainly, Trump's election has the money junkie gamblers on Wall Street out there rolling the chips and spinning the dice and whatever else they're doing there. But an odd phenomenon. There's one sector of the stock market that isn't being taken up with the rest, and that's the corporate media and entertainment. And I think that's because even the money junkies on Wall Street are realizing that big media, corporate media, entertainment, all aligned with Hillary Clinton, went on the attack against Donald Trump, and Donald Trump isn't going to be looking upon them very favorably. Now, it's not like Donald Trump is going to sic the army on them or anything, but you would be amazed how hard Hollywood works to gain the favor of every incoming administration, because they have to look at issues about censorship on product. They have to look at tariffs on international distribution. And big part of it has to do with film tax credits, which are a big moneymaker for Hollywood. And they're supposed to exist to lure filmmaking out of Hollywood into other places like here in Hawaii. But they often get abused. And if Trump, as part of his rolling back government spending, decides that Hollywood doesn't need those tax credits, there are going to be some unhappy people out there in Tinseltown. And having basically bet the farm on Hillary Clinton, they may be in trouble, and Wall Street seems to recognize it. Now then, over at Investment Watch blog, they have an article saying that just like we should not trust the CIA on Russian hacking, why are we listening to the economic experts in the corporate media? Because they're usually wrong. They're 0 for 5. If these experts were being assessed on results, they'd all be fired. Well, what's going on is these experts aren't reporting on what's going on in the stock market. They're there to sell you stocks, to convince you to buy this stock. Because they themselves are invested in it, or their bosses are invested in it, and they want to do a little pump and dump. And that's why they're wrong so much. They're not actually reporting on what's going on. They're trying to steer it. Bill Bonner is out there saying funny money is getting funnier until you realize who's the butt of that joke, which is we the people. Now, I know Trump is celebrating his victory with Ford keeping jobs here in the U.S., but he's up against the catastrophe. General Motors, Fiat Chrysler are having to close 7 plants, over 10,000 workers affected. It's due to slow sales. Why? Because ordinary Americans don't have the money to buy a newer car, and they don't want to go borrow the money because they don't know for sure they can pay it back. Unlike the government, which borrows money, and it's the future administration's problem to pay it all back. And looking at the car commercials, I mean, the prices are amazing. The leasing deals are amazing. This would be a great time to get into a newer car. I'd like to get into a newer car. I mean, I love my Honda. It's still running great, but it is 17 years old and it's showing its age. I can't do it. Nobody can. And so there are these gigantic lots of manufactured brand new cars that are sitting there and not going to the dealerships. And it's all jammed up, and they're having to shut the factories down. And it's another indicator that this money junkie-directed fascist economic dictatorship is locking up. Now, all economies function as a pyramid. It's unavoidable because of the machinations of those at the top, the ultra-wealthy. But for an economy to sustain and perpetuate, there must be a recycling mechanism by which the wealth accumulated at the top, a portion of it, is siphoned off and brought back down to the bottom for decent wages and salaries for the working class, so the working class can go and buy a newer car, can go buy a big screen TV at the shopping mall, can buy a new house. Fascism removes that recycling mechanism, and without it, you reach the situation where we are right now. All the money is concentrated at the top. And there aren't enough of those money junkies to run around to all the shopping malls buying up manufactured goods. They can't buy up all the cars that are sitting there waiting to be sold. And so the economy is locking up. The wealth inequality in this country is at historic levels. And countries where wealth inequality reaches this level are on the verge of an economic collapse, if not an outright revolution. So, Donald, I feel sorry for you, but you did want the job, and I did want you in the job, but it's not going to be an easy time. Australia is now looking at canceling their $100 bill, claiming it's a full assault on the black or underground economy. They're also, like Spain, considering a total ban on cash payments over a certain level. You will have the bank do the transfer for you. I mean, I understand the bank acting as escrow when you're buying a house. That's a huge amount of money. But now they want escrow for a six-pack of beer. Well, not a six-pack of beer, but escrow for cars. I mean, from which the bank will charge a fee. Now, one of the big problems that we're looking at in the current supply line for manufacturing are the sea lanes of communication. It does take a while. Right now, things are very static. The Baltic Dry Index is at historic lows. Russia and China are investing in the future, and they're building these cargo high-speed railways to link China and Russia. And the trip is only going to take 2 days. If they have to go by sea, It's a two-month trip. Getting things out to the port, putting them on the ship, taking them around, getting them off the ship, getting them where they're supposed to go. 2 months. This high-speed rail system cuts that time to just 2 days. We should be thinking about high-speed rail in this country instead of this little wobbly light rail liberal thing we have down here, which I think I mentioned they're going to have to replace all of the cars because of a design defect in the frame. Got to take a break here. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
On the fifth day of global warming, Al Gore gave to me $5 $4 gas, 3 failed automakers, 2 melting ice caps, and a fear-mongering documentary.
And aloha, and that is very appropriate bump music, because we're going to spend this last segment of our program today talking about human-caused global warming. Insert ominous music here. Intense winter storm is hitting the United States. All kinds of traffic problems. Please, if you're in the snow areas, drive carefully. Have your snow tires and your chains. Don't take any chances. Denver just recorded their coldest December 17th since 1909. Boston had their coldest December 16th since 1883. There's a freeze warning in the San Francisco Bay Area. Temperatures are in the 20s there. and it just snowed in the Sahara Desert for the first time in 37 years. And somewhere in the distance, Al Gore is howling in the wind. Actually, Al Gore has a sequel to Inconvenient Truth coming on out. A final dramatic push to insist that you ignore all this snow and ice and frostbite and believe that the world is warming. That the world is warming, but the heat is hiding someplace. It's hiding in the bottom of the ocean. It's hiding at the North Pole, just waiting for you to drop your attention. Then it will leap out and savage you like a wild tiger. Anybody who thinks there's no such thing as a wide-ranging conspiracy to defraud the general public, we got one right here, staked out naked on the ground for you to study and learn from. This conspiracy to push carbon as a villain, to sell you a tax and carbon credits and global control over your lifestyle, involved the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, NASA, NOAA, the Hadley Climate Research Unit at the University of East Anglia, Penn State, the New Zealand Meteorological Society, the UK Met Office, and on and on and on. And all of these so-called science TV channels that were right up there saying, oh, yes, humans are warming the world. Humans are absolutely warming the world. Pay no attention to the snow and ice. The global warming is just paused, but you shouldn't let that cause you to doubt. It's still out there. And then, of course, we had this ridiculous thing where NASA has now come on out and said, well, we were wrong. Fossil fuels aren't warming the planet, they are cooling it, therefore we can stop the oncoming mini ice age with a carbon tax. See, the goal is the carbon tax. Whatever they need to tell you, whatever corporate media needs to tell you to believe so that they can get you to go along with the carbon tax. Carbon is making us warmer. Whoops, look at all the snow. All right, carbon's making us colder. And we can fix it. They don't know what they're talking about. Not one of their draconian predictions ever came true. Al Gore bought a seaside house out in California. So much for the oceans are going to rise and we're all going to drown. It's just another scam for your money by politicians, by government agencies, by academia, by corporate media. How much more do you have to be lied to until you are willing to stand up and acknowledge you are being lied to every minute of every day of your life by the government and the corporate media? The establishment rules you with lies, fraud, and deception. Enough is enough is enough. It's time to start firing the liars. Fire the liars. That's our new slogan out here. All right, there's the music. Time for me to get on out of here and get something useful done with the rest of the day. We'll be back here tomorrow on Republic Broadcasting Live. And we'll see you then. And remember, you're all part of the independent media. Take what you learn here, share it with everyone you know, gently, nicely. Let's not send the liberals back into their safe rooms with the Play-Doh just yet. We'll be right back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.